tension in the U.S.-China relationship.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton heads to Beijing today as part of a 12-day swing through Asia. She'll be in China for 2 days of talks. Her visit comes amid a slowdown in the Chinese economy and an uptick in economic tensions between China and the United States. Sabri Benishore has the story from Washington.
Secretary Clinton will have plenty on her plate these 2 days. Nicholas Lardy is a senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics.
It basically comes down to a range of trade issues. Is China trading fairly? There had been quite a bit of concern about the value of its currency over recent years, but the Chinese have allowed their currency to appreciate quite a bit.
The U.S. and China have a bunch of disputes at the World Trade Organization. Among them, the U.S. says China is subsidizing and dumping solar panels onto the world market, and the Chinese are peeved that the U.S. is going after them so aggressively at the WTO. Jonathan Pollack is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution.
This seems to me to be a time of real unease in the U.S.-China relationship.
Both countries face political uncertainty, and both are under serious economic strain. At the same time, a wave of nationalism across Asia and territorial disputes also complicate the relationship. I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
The European debt crisis is spreading from the public sector to the private sector. Companies in some of the weakest European economies are now facing much higher borrowing costs, as Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports from London.
The European Central Bank says small companies in Spain and Italy are getting squeezed. Their borrowing costs have soared. They're now roughly 50% higher than for their German counterparts. No mystery as to why this is happening. Spanish and Italian banks are in as much trouble as their governments. They're struggling to raise funds, and so they're now demanding higher interest rates from their corporate customers. David Riley of Fitch Ratings says this could make it more likely the euro will break up.
This really does undercut part of the whole rationale for the euro, and it highlights how financial flows and investment in the eurozone are actually fragmenting, are actually pulling apart.
The new data could strengthen the hand of the European Central Bank as it plans to unveil controversial action to end the debt crisis. The bank can now claim the survival of the euro could be at stake. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are lower in global trading this morning, down 0.75% right now in London, 0.5% in Paris. Here in this country, we'll get earnings this morning from Campbell's Soup, which is trying to heat up lagging soup sales while also continuing to grow the better performing parts of the company, juices and packaged foods. Wall Street was closed yesterday for the holiday, but on Friday, the Dow added 90 points to close at 13,090.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
Tomorrow, Nokia launches a new smartphone which will use Microsoft's operating system. It's the last best chance for Nokia to take on Apple, which is also expected to launch the next version of the iPhone this month. For a glimpse into the mobile future, we've got Brian Chen on the line. He writes for the New York Times Bits blog. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what's next for mobile phones?
I think right now touchscreens are really big, looking at tablets, looking at smartphones. But for the future, I think Google gives us a good clue as to what we should expect with the glasses and the whole idea of wearable computing, the connected body, this idea of wearing glasses and being able to see data as we walk around is sort of where I think things are heading.
Sounds pretty dangerous if you're walking down the street and everybody's wearing glasses and reading books and watching movies and all that.
You know, I think the secret is I think people are going to have to figure out how to make the interface less noticeable and less intrusive. So I can imagine if you wanted to have some notes by your side, like say you were giving a speech, glasses could serve as sort of a teleprompter in some ways.
All right. Well, for those of us who are not going to be at the forefront of technology and might not be willing to plop down the amount of money necessary to be right on the cutting edge, what about the smartphones? I mean, what can they do next that will make them worth buying the next generation of?
I think what we can expect is for Apple and its competitors to keep iterating on what they're doing right now. And of course, I think there's always some opportunity to address certain areas of technology that doesn't work very well and implementing that into current devices.
And who are the players going to be? Is Apple going to be the leader going forward in this next generation of mobile technology with Google and other players behind? Or is anybody poised to take over that role?
Right now, Apple and, of course, Google are sort of ruling this market. Google is just becoming a hardware manufacturer now. So I think that's sort of like the big question. Is Google as a hardware manufacturer with Motorola going to become the big number two smartphone maker? Right now, the biggest phone maker in the world is Samsung. And, of course, there's been a lot of patent litigation between Apple and Samsung. So I think the future of Samsung is sort of uncertain in this area, depending on how this whole thing pans out.
I was walking down the street the other day and I saw somebody with a flip phone with an antenna on it. How long until that sight is a thing of the past?
Well, right now in the United States, more than 50% of phone users are using smartphones. And I think those types of phones are going to continue to evaporate as smartphones become more affordable and carriers continue to compete in terms of the prices of the contracts and so forth. Hopefully that sort of causes some change in the industry.
Brian Chan of the New York Times Bit Blog, author of Always On, How the iPhone Unlocked the Anything, Anytime, Anywhere Future. Thank you so much for your time.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
And finally, to one area of inflation that's probably making a lot of kids happy. According to a study out this morning from Visa, the tooth fairy is leaving kids an average of $3 per tooth these days, which is up 15% from last year. According to USA Today, Visa is launching an iPhone app today to calculate the going rate for teeth, just in case the tooth fairy is living back in the 60s still. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.